Why don't you lift up your right hand to Jesus? Kindly lift up your right hand to Jesus. Why don't you kindly lift up your right hand to Jesus? And just talk to God and tell God to speak to you tonight. Tell the Lord, I want to hear from you. You've got times and seasons in your hands. You call for light out of darkness. You don't need a man to be the God you are. But you have chosen to call us yours. You are God, you are God, from beginning to the end. There's no place for argument. You are God all by yourself. You are God, you are God, from beginning to the end. There's no place for argument. You are God all by yourself. You've got times and seasons in your hands. You call for light.
You call for light out of darkness.
You don't need a man.
You don't need a man
to be the God you are. Thanks, we give you praise. I join the family of this church and we say we recognize your grace. We recognize your mercy at work. From the days of the classroom to the days of Sakumono Village. And this is how far you have brought the church. And it's amazing that this is not even the end, but it's still a process and the church is still in progress. We recognize that it is by your hand and by your hand alone. Tonight the gathering is unto you. I pray that you let every mind be attentive, let every heart be receptive, and let every ear be a listening ear. Have mercy, O God, upon me. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Use me for your glory and to your glory alone. Speak a word in season to somebody today. Speak the right word to somebody today. Let the life-transforming word proceed from my lips today. Let me declare your oracles, O Lord, and not the words of man, but your words. Cause us to hear from the corridors of heaven. Let no life here remain the same. This beginning, let this flaming altars be like sweet wine, that as the days increase, it will get better and better. In the name of Jesus, I stop any activity of the evil one. I bind demons and I pray, Lord, let there be a free flow of your spirit like never before. We are grateful. We are thankful. In Jesus' mighty name. Everybody shout a big amen. Clap your hands together for the Lord. Shall we be seated? Well, it's a joy and an honor all the time to be with you in ICGC Zacharias Temple, and especially to be with my very good friend, Reverend Prince Nyako. Very good man of God. He's been a great blessing to me personally. And, you know, those days he would do framing altars, posters, and put my name apostle there. And people will call me and they'll be like, hey, when did you become an apostle? And we didn't know. And since he started doing that, I've had several bishops call me. They want to consecrate me as an apostle. They've not seen the poster before. They've never seen the poster before. But even as I'm speaking now, there is even another senior man of God who says he wants to consecrate me as an apostle. I don't know what they see, but I know that your pastor has prophetic eyes. Yeah. And you are in a good church. You are in a good church. Not many people have the kind of heart he has for God's work. And whenever I'm with him, I see a deep sense of passion. Passion for God and a love for God's people. And you cannot see something like this and not know that a grace has been at work. But that grace has been resting upon a man. Yeah? The moves of God rest upon the shoulders of men. So when they were carrying the Ark of the Covenant and they put it upon a cart and it was about to fall, and Uzzah touched it, he saw the power of God. And then when they had to do it the second time, they had to carry it upon the shoulders of the priest, because the moves of God are carried on the shoulders of men. I want to encourage you to be very obedient and submit yourself. Being a pastor is not an easy thing. It's no joke at all. And for many of you, you only go to heaven to get to know the kind of work your pastor has done in your life. Hebrews 13:17, it says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Why? It says, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So if your pastor is not happy and is preaching to you, laying hands on you, speaking prophetic words over you, it will not go well with you. Sometimes I hear people saying that, why should pastors be cursing and all that? And I say that these people don't read the Bible. But even if your pastor doesn't open his mouth and you shift your heart towards him, you get bitter. You are complaining, you are criticizing him, you are despising him in your heart, gossiping and spreading rumors about him. And he gets to, you know, your spirit can pick things. Sometimes you can meet people, you've not heard anything bad they've said about you, but there is a bad air around them towards you. And you can stand and be preaching to your people and you can see that your spirit is grieved. And he says that if the spirit of your pastor is grieved, it is unprofitable for you. So I want to encourage all of you, be obedient. Submit yourselves, be obedient. And when we say submit, it means yield. Always agree. Always say yes. Never say no. Always find a way. If he says we want to do it this way or we want to do something, don't oppose. Rather ask yourself that, how can we make this dream possible? Because no pastor in his right sense will just get up to come up with an idea. He would have prayed, he would have fasted, meditated on it before he will talk to somebody reasonable who he thinks can carry the idea forward. Why don't you stand to your feet and honor your pastor this evening? Clap your hands properly. Shall we be seated? And I want to honor the woman of God as well. Dr. Theo. When I knew her, she didn't have a degree. She was an undergraduate. Suddenly, her title is bigger than all of us. All we can say is that we're reverends, because before maybe she would say she's becoming a pastor or a reverend. But Dr. Theo, we appreciate you so much. And we recognize the grace of God at work also with your life. And pastors' wives, I believe that your reward is going to be in heaven, because sometimes they are honoring the pastor and they don't talk about you. You are like a flower vase in the chapel. And people, a lot of pastors' wives don't feel loved. They don't feel appreciated. So they see people honor their husbands, but they, when it comes to them, there is no respect. But you see, the thing is that for your pastor to just be there and moving, there is some kind of stability that is coming from his house. If your house is not okay, it will affect you. It will show in every area of your life. And so, Dr. Theo, I want to say to you that your reward also is going to be in heaven. When we get to heaven, you'll really see. So sometimes, I mean, you just have to overlook many things in the church and allow the grace of God to work. And all the other leaders, all the other pastors, departmental heads, and man of God, I salute you, Sadok, for coming. God bless all of you. It's good to see the familiar faces again. Say amen. Some of you have chubby chicks now. Yes, chubby chicks. And I came with some of our pastors. Pastor Gershon is with me at the headquarters. We have Pastor Ernest from Dodowa. I'm just mentioning them for them to see what God is doing. This church started from a classroom. Pastor James from Tema. Pastor Johnson with me. Pastor Ellie from Afienya. Pastor Will from our church in Matahiko. All right. So be encouraged and build something like this and bigger. Hey, Grace, come and see the man of God and swear a seat. Pastor Francis also with me. Pastor Vincent from Sonyane. And then Daniel and Gabriel and Goswin. God bless all of you for coming. Why don't you put your hands together for Jesus and turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, my neighbor, it's good to see you. Well, tonight, the theme for the conference, Flaming Altars this year, is the parables of Jesus. And tonight, I want to pick one of the parables of Jesus and preach from there and get out of your way. In Luke chapter 12, the verse number 13, this is Jesus. Jesus had gathered a lot of people around him. The Bible says, when the people had gathered thick, he began to teach them. So in the verse number 13 of Luke chapter 12, and one of the company means one of the people in the congregation, said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. Jesus said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. You know, in life, if you don't learn to define your relationships properly, you may be expecting something from somebody and the person doesn't have that capacity to give that thing to you. And that is how come when people come into your life, you have to ask yourself, why are they in my life? Define who they are in your life. Other than that, you'll be looking for the wrong thing from them. So because Jesus was teaching, Jesus was preaching, and Jesus could explain the word of God and could divide the Old Testament and had authority. His word was with power as he was teaching. The guy felt that, well, if Jesus can teach like this and everybody will keep quiet and he will have such an authority over the gathering, my brother who has refused to share the inheritance with me, he can talk to him for me. But you see, Jesus was a man of God. He was a preacher, a pastor, a prophet, an evangelist, an apostle. But he was not a judge. Neither was he a divider. So he said, I'm not a judge. Who made me a judge or a divider over you? So if you don't define your relationship with people well, you may be looking for something from them they cannot give to you. And sometimes when God is even using a man to supply things to you by grace, when you begin to have the sense of entitlement, you can begin to destroy the relationship. So Jesus rebukes them and he says, look, I'm not a judge. I'm not a divider over you. Then he says to them, take heed and beware of greed. For a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. The church today is filled so much with materialism. Who is driving the biggest car? Who is living in the nicest house? Who has what and who doesn't have what? And so sometimes people find it very difficult to even join the choir. If they see the way the choir is changing uniforms all the time, sewing new dresses all the time, and the person say, Charlie, I want to join the choir, but if I see the way they are changing dresses, how can I be able to join them? And we can be in the church sometimes and we are competition-minded. Somebody has bought a new bag, so I must buy it. Somebody has bought a new shoe, so I must buy it. And he says that your success in the sight of God does not depend on what you have. God doesn't use your possessions to determine how successful you are or what a failure you have actually become. So success in the sight of God is completely different from success in the sight of human beings. Anytime you say somebody is successful in the world, people ask you, where is his car? Where does he stay? What kind of house does he have? Because these are the things we use to measure a man's success in the world. But before God, it's not like that. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, we are in verse 16 now. It says, the ground of a certain rich man, it brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is everyone that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. What is a parable? A parable is a story with a hidden meaning. A parable is a story with a hidden meaning. And when you look in the dictionary, you read comments on it from the internet and all that, they say so many things. They say it's a fictitious story that has a moral lesson or a religious lesson at the end of it. But in the Bible, a parable is simply a story with a hidden meaning. So the man told Jesus, Jesus, my brother has taken all the inheritance. He doesn't want to share the inheritance with me. And Jesus says to the man, I'm not a divider or a judge over you. Take heed, beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Then he speaks a parable unto them. And one of the reasons why he speaks the parable unto them is for them to go home thinking about what he has said. Sometimes when we come to church and the word of God is so simple, we even forget it and throw it away. But sometimes when you come to church and the word is very confusing, when you go home, you tell everybody in the house, today what they even thought, I didn't understand it. Sometimes you tend to even meditate on it. But for we those who are in the kingdom, it has been given to us to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. So Mark chapter 4 verse 11, it says, for unto us it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. So this is the parable of the rich fool. And I'll be sharing on the subject, lessons from the parable of the rich fool. He was a rich man, successful in the sight of men, but God called him a fool. He was so successful, in the sight of the world, but in the sight of God, he was a fool. And people, your success is not what people are saying your success is, but your success should be what God says your success should actually be. We need to strive to be successful in the sight of God and not in the sight of man. We must strive to look good in the sight of God and not in the sight of man. I will never forget, my uncle was about to die, I think it was from 3 or 4 years ago, and I went to visit him a week before he passed. And as he was laying down in that comatose state, one thing he kept saying to me, he said it to me about 3 or 4 times. He was in a coma, kind of like, going and coming. And when he comes up, he would just say, all that glitters is not gold. 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 So I said, uncle, what are you saying? He said, I don't even know what I'm saying. What did I say? Then I'll repeat it to him. Then he will smile. Then he will ask, is that what he said? I said, that's what you said. Then he said, all that glitters is not gold. Sometimes the things that we see looking so big, so tall, so high and mighty is rotten under. So rotten under. And so let us not fight to be successful in the sight of the world, but to be successful in the sight of God. Now, in life, if you don't understand the fundamentals of a thing, you can easily be frustrated. So you can be in the house of God, be paying your tithe, be doing all the other things, but end up missing it at the end. And you will wonder why you missed it at the end. That upon my singing in the choir, being in the ushering department, playing the organ, playing the drum, sacrificing, cleaning, sweeping, dusting the chairs, doing whatever I have to do, how come I missed it? So for example, if you are training a child, a child is trained, a child is brought up and trained. Children don't do what you tell them to do. They do what they see you doing. So Proverbs chapter 22 verse 6, for example, he says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So if you keep telling your children, don't watch television, and whilst they have gone to their room, you are sitting down there and you are watching. When you go to sleep, they will wake up and come and watch secretly. So children will not do what you are telling them to do. They will do what they see you doing. And sometimes, if you are quarreling in front of your children, fighting in front of your children, insulting people in front of your children, you are training them to do the same thing when they grow up. Children today are growing up and they don't believe in marriage any longer because of the kind of parents they had around them. Sometimes if a child grew up in the home where the father always abused the mother and she's a girl, she grows up and she either resents men or she fears men. So as a mother, if you are talking to your husband, no matter how provoked you are, and your children are there, you have to learn to control yourself. Learn to control yourself. So the fundamental in raising a child, for example, is to train them by example. Lead them by example. For example, you talk about marriage also. What is the most important thing in marriage? You want to marry. What is the most important thing? Proverbs 31 verse 30 says, favor is deceitful, beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, he says, she shall be praised. He says, favor is deceitful. And you see, when you want to covet somebody's favor or you want to win somebody over, you shower money on them. So here is a guy, he's interested in a girl in the church, and because he's interested in her, he will struggle, buy her an iPhone. Meanwhile, he's using a young phone. He will struggle, take her to Kempinski hotel, I mean, pay for a breakfast buffet. He himself will not eat some, the lady will take, and after the lady is done and they are gone, he will go and do garri soakings and continue in the day. What is he trying to do? He's trying to win the lady over. Money is good, but money cannot keep a good relationship. That is why a lot of rich people are not happy. So he says, favor is deceitful. So the fact that somebody is being nice to you at the beginning, before he even marries you, listen, it can deceive you. Then another thing that can also deceive a guy is beauty. So a lot of guys now, they are marrying a container. They are interested in the container instead of interested in what is inside the content. What the content of the container? They are just moved by the container. She must have hips. She must have buttocks. Her breast must be pointed up, not pointed down, but it must be pointed up or pointing straight. Either talking to heaven or talking to them directly. But it says that beauty also is vain. One day I was at a place with my father. My father is a very humorous man. Man of God, my spiritual father. So we're in the meeting. Then he pointed somebody to me and said, the woman has double buttocks. So I said, hey, daddy, what did you just say? So when I looked carefully, do you know the second one? The folded one. Meanwhile, when she was young, very slim, very cute. So if you follow the container, without checking what is inside the container, what is inside the container will deny you access even to the container itself when you marry. Because a lady who is bitter will never give you sex. A lady who is angry with you will never give you sex. You will go crazy. Because she'll be changing and dressing in front of you. You can see that you are in Canaan, but you are not enjoying the Canaan. So the fundamental thing that you need for a good marriage is good character. So it says, a woman that fears God, she shall be praised. Good character. A woman who doesn't have buttocks, she doesn't have anything, but she has a good character. She can take you very far, more than one who has all the accessories, but doesn't have a good character. She will break your heart and kill you before your time. So even concerning marriage, if you don't understand the fundamentals, and mind you, let me make this comment. You can have sex with any girl at all, but you cannot marry every girl. You can have sex with any man at all, but it's not every man you can marry. You can go and have sex with a man, but you may not qualify to be his wife, because what the wife has on the inside, you don't have a quarter of it. Even the level of reasoning, the level of thinking, you can't reason to that level. You are a villager who thinks that marriage is only by body, not what is inside. So if you don't understand the fundamentals of anything, you can become frustrated. And a lot of marriages now are frustrated. People marry within 1 year, they divorce. Within 6 months, they divorce. Within 3 months, they divorce. 3 days, they get tired. They want to divorce because they were after the container instead of being interested in what is inside. A good character, it can take you farther in marriage than any other thing. So if you don't understand the fundamentals of marriage also, you can miss it. Now coming to the kingdom. If you don't understand what God expects of you in the kingdom, you can miss it. This man was a rich man. His ground had brought forth plentifully, fertile grounds. And when I read his parable, I get encouraged, because sometimes you can be doing something for a long time and the thing is not working, but suddenly the grace of God can fall and then the same thing begins to work. So he says the ground of a certain rich man, it brought forth plentifully, meaning that for a long time it was not bringing forth plentifully. So sometimes maybe you are in the church and you are wondering, you've been serving God, praying, fasting, nothing is happening, but God is just building you. Your season is around the corner and you are about to experience the goodness of the Lord. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So when the man's goods began to increase, he had a positive problem. There is a company on the Sprinter's Radio called Kitia. And I saw something. One of the hashtags they have on their building is good problems. When your visitor comes and he doesn't want to go because of how nice the sofa is. And this man, he had a good problem. Can you imagine? You have so much money that you cannot sleep in the night. This is good, a good problem. Because if you don't have money and you cannot sleep in the night, the money too you don't have. And the peace of mind too you don't have. But if this one, you have the money and you don't have the peace of mind, at least the money is there. It's a good problem. And he began to think. But in thinking, he erred. He said, I'll pull down my barns and build greater. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. But as he was speaking like that, God was also saying in heaven, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Two things were sending the man to an early grave. The rich fool. There are so many lessons we can draw from there, but I want to pick only two and dwell on it for a while, and then we close. The first lesson I want you to understand is that if you don't follow God's agenda for your body, you can die before your time. If you don't follow God's agenda for your body, you can die before your time. Why did God call this man to come home? In fact, there are so many messages I can preach from here. One of them is that you must learn to number your days. Learn to number your days. He thought he had eternity when actually that night he was going to die. He had no idea. And we must know how to number our days. As you keep attending the funerals of people, you must ask yourself, when will it be your turn? As all the other people are going, your classmates, you came out of school, you graduated, then you got a job, you are married, you had children. So you are attending weddings, you attended outdoorings. Then the time comes, you begin to attend funerals. You must begin to think about it. That when am I going to go? But the man died, and one of the first reasons why he died was that he did not understand God's agenda for his body. Physical body I'm talking about. And people, the church today has turned the house of God into a shrine We come to collect blessings and prophetic words and oil and mantles, which are all good, but we are missing it. And so the church is very powerful, yet people are dying before their time. People die, we go to their funerals, and we know that this person should not have died at this particular point in time. And the reason is because many times people don't understand God's agenda for their bodies. So God has an agenda for your body, and I'll put it to you tonight, whether you like it or not, that your body doesn't belong to you. Your body is not yours. Your body doesn't belong to you. That old Nigerian song we used to sing, "My body ain't a God that go give him more." You cannot give it to him. He has already taken it. Once you are in church and you are singing that song, you are missing it. Your body already belongs to him. He paid for it. He caused the precious blood of Jesus to purchase your body as the temple of the living God. Your body is not yours. So, in Christianity, the fundamentals of Christianity is you must understand God's agenda for your human body. Jesus gives us an example. In Hebrews chapter 10 verse 5, it says, "Wherefore when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the books to do thy will, O Lord." So when Jesus was coming to the face of the earth, he had a conversation with the Father. He said to the Father, "Father, I have noticed that sacrifices and offerings no longer please you. You are no longer interested in them. So when you see the priest offering these sacrifices, it doesn't please you any longer. It looks like an abomination in front of you. But I know why you have prepared this body for me." And he said, "Father, as I come to the earth, I know that in burnt offerings and sacrifices, you have had no pleasure. So I cannot give any amount of money to bribe my way into the anointing. I cannot give any amount of money to bribe my way into righteousness. I cannot give any amount of money to make up for all the things I do with my body which I shouldn't do. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the books. It is written of me to do thy will, O Lord." So, Jesus was standing by God. And God says to Jesus, "Jesus, I need you to go down there. Now I am no longer interested in burnt offerings and sacrifices. The offerings of the people have become abominable to me. I am no longer interested in all the animal sacrifices they offer on the altar. I am no longer interested. It is abominable to me. I need you to go down there. And I need you to go and show them the way. I need you to go and show them the way, to show them what really I am interested in. I need you to go and be an example to them." And Jesus says to the Father, "How will I go?" Then the Father pulls out a body like a garment and says, "This is the body. I have prepared it for you. Go and enter into it." And Jesus came and he entered into the body. And he was walking upon the face of the earth. One day, he was moving with his disciples. And the Bible says that he must needs go through Samaria and came to sit on the well, Jacob's old well. And as he sat there, this Samaritan woman comes and the conversation ensues. And Jesus tells the woman secrets about her life that blows her mind. While Jesus was having this conversation, the disciples had gone into town to buy food. Because not only were they tired from the journey, but they were also hungry. Jesus himself was also hungry. But by the time they came back, they saw Jesus smiling. And they asked, "Has anybody brought him food?" He says to them, "I have meat to eat that you have no idea about." Then they said, "Who brought him food? What has he eaten?" Then in John chapter 4, verse 34, he said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." I came to finish his work. I came to do his will. The reason why he gave me the body was not to be an iron rod seller, was not to marry, was not to have all those children, was not just to go to that beautiful school, was not just to have that degree. All are okay. But the main reason why he gave me the body is to do the will, and the will of the Father is for me to be a soul winner, to save a soul, to bring somebody into the kingdom, to save somebody from their sins, from their wretchedness, and bring them to God. I may be a chorister, but I must use my body in my singing, thinking about the fact that as I sing in the church, somebody who walks into the auditorium or somebody passing by can hear the music and surrender his life unto God. But I'm not interested in your clapping. Excuse me. If you don't understand the purpose of your body, you will be in the church and be a fornicator and be singing. You'll be in the church and be fondling one another and still be singing. You'll be in the church committing adultery and be preaching and be flowing normal as if it's okay. Because you don't understand the reason why God has given to you the body he has given to you. I have seen church members have HIV. Two of them got married. Two of them, they got married. Why can I say it? Who can I tell it to? Who can I talk to? Who can I tell? But they were in the church. They were in the church. Because we are in the church and we don't understand why God has given us a body. We don't understand why the body is there. So we are mismanaging the body. And people, I put it to you today, at the end of it all, it's not about how many degrees you were able to accumulate. It's not about how many houses you were able to build. It's not about how many cars you were able to amass. It's not about how much money you had in your bank account. But it is how much of God's agenda you followed with your body. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and that ye are not your own? Therefore glorify God in your body. It says, for ye are bought with a price. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We don't understand why God gave us a body. So we are using our bodies to seduce brothers in the church. We are using our breasts to seduce people in the house of God. We are using our biceps and our triceps to seduce sisters in the house of God. We are using our body mass index to influence people in the church. And the church of God today has missed it. The church of God, I'm not talking about your church, I'm talking about church universal. We have missed it. 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 The level of fornication in the church of God today is no joke. The number of people who are masturbating in the church is no joke at all. The number of girls who may have vibrators in the chapel as they are sitting here, you have no idea about. A girl died, and when she died, as I was thinking about what to do, then a man runs to me. And when the man runs to me, he says, I want to do everything. So I said, why do you want to do everything? He said, Pastor, let me tell you the truth. This girl, whatever killed her, I was on top of her when the thing started. So I said, you are on top of her like how? You are on top of her like how? He said, we're having sex. We're having sex when the organ problem began. And when the organ problem began, I fell off. And when I fell off, she said she had to leave. So she left. And when she left, the next time I heard, she was at the hospital. And the next time I heard, she was dead. And he said, he didn't care about it. But one day he was in the house. He was doing something on his laptop. He had put off the laptop and he had slept.
When he woke up in the middle of the night, the laptop was on and the girl's name was written on the laptop. When he got up and came to the laptop, the name vanished and the laptop closed again. So he ran to the mother's room. So early morning, the mother and him, they ran to me. So as the sister is dead, we are in the church. We are shouting, rest in peace. Oh, why should you die now? Why should you die now? And crying and weeping and saying all these things. Only she and her God knows where she died from. Side chick. Sex. What? Where are we going with the sex? Why are we going with the sex? Why are you going with it? Those who are married 3 and 4, they will tell you they are tired. They are tired. They interviewed a guy, I cannot mention his name because I'm sure we are on social media. They interviewed a guy on live television. He had about 2 or 3 wives. And he says, the first one has some car, he mentioned. The second one also has some car, he mentioned. Then the one interviewing him asked him, so now that you have 2 wives, are you satisfied? And he asked the one interviewing him, you too, you are a man. Why are you asking me that question? Nothing has been designed in this world to satisfy. Nothing satisfies. You get to a pinnacle of success by the time you realize you've lost interest in it. You buy iPhone fresh 1 week, you are so excited about it. After that 1 week, it's off. You buy a fresh car, after 1 month, it's off. You buy a new dress, after 1 week, it's off. You buy something, after 3 months, it's off. Where is the church of God headed? Where are we going? With the sex. Destroying the church. We are using our bodies for the wrong things. And so, somebody was preaching in our church recently and was saying that some of the choreography they do, he wonders. And I said in my head, I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. One of the days, they were coming to do choreography in our church. And when I saw the girls, one had gotten pregnant. The other had gotten pregnant and aborted it. Not that they say, I know. The other had gotten pregnant and had aborted it. The third one, somebody else is squeezing her. She's also about to get pregnant. The fourth one, the fifth one. Then when I saw them like that, it's like Kwasi Apenyi, Kwasi Aketua, Kwasi Ekahua, and they are all coming. It's like they are just going to follow one another. I sent a message to them immediately that today, no choreography, no choreography. No choreography. What do you mean by choreography? No choreography. Because sometimes, by the time they carry one another, by the time they carry one another and throw her, then they throw, and then she's wearing leggings with jean string. And so by the time he holds the waist, so, and then he drops her, he picks her again, and you say it's a flare. He says, and then he drops her. You don't know that something is happening on the stage. What kind of thing is this? We dance like that. We go to a party and go and twerk and shake our waist and shake our buttocks and confuse brothers. People, so when thoughts come, I say, hey, concentrate. The reason why God gave you a body, it's not for all these things. People, as you begin to grow, you begin to ask yourself, what is life really all about? What is life really all about? What is life really all about? So when I'm going a little and a certain thought wants to flash my mind, I tell myself, listen, you have to concentrate. There is a reason why you are given the body. The body is not for sex. The body is not for stealing. The body is not for all these bad things that it wants to do. Fulfilling the lust of the flesh and of the mind, and we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Ephesians 2 verse 3 says, among whom we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So this body, know why the body has been given to you. Other than that, you can die before your time. You can die before your time. And there are levels. What an usher may do, and God will overlook. A chorister may do, and God may pay a little attention. But somebody who is an armor bearer, going to do the same thing, it can land the person into some serious trouble. Everybody and the level at which they are. So I pray for all of us that will follow God's agenda for our bodies. Why not all of us? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. John 1, verse 2, verse 3. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. The light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. This is the reason why we have been given a body. We either live the word for people to believe in it, or we share our testimony with them. Evangelism is not a difficult thing. All you just need to do is to tell somebody what change has come into your life since you met God. I know you're not happy with the message, but I'm preaching. It's a prophetic message. To bear witness. So you either live the word, live it for everybody to see. You see, when you go for birthday parties and all that, people are talking. Don't just be interested in those things. People just lie a lot. It's like a funeral. The man is a good man only at his death and at his funeral. But you see, when you hear things like, he lives the word, he lives the Bible, he lives the word. Can your husband say that about you? Can your wife say that about you? That you live the word. If you have been serving God for some time now, and up till now your quick temper has not calmed down, there's something wrong. If you have been serving God for some time now, and up till now the lustful thoughts and the lustful desires and the pornographic materials, you have not destroyed them, and you are rather getting stronger in it, there is something wrong somewhere. You must live the word and give witness to the word to other people, and be a blessing to other people. So I visited a friend of mine, pastor, and when I visited his office, the security man is a man, the cook is a man, the cleaner is a man, the washer is a man, everybody is a man. And I say, hey, why? He said, I'm protecting the body. I'm protecting the body. I'm protecting the body. And I saw another brother. He has these 7 girls. I don't know who they are. I don't know who they are. When they are coming, it's like a wedding. Seven girls, bridesmaids, and 7 groomsmen. And I said, okay, the men, okay. But these ladies, who are in this tight, skinny, skimpy, fiankpa type of dress. And they have a brassiere that really collects the press and projects it a certain way. And they have some anointing oil they use to anoint it. My Lord and my God. It can distract you. There are places we have to go with our bodies. The devil is also after us to distract us, to use the body for the wrong thing. I pray that everybody here, next Sunday when you are coming, you will grab one soul and bring that one soul to church. You will go and beg somebody. Look at the area in which you are. To bring people, different kinds of people. It may mean that some of the people in the area, a lot of them are squatters. You may have to go humble yourself to a weed smoker who may insult you, who may throw things at you and misbehave towards you. You need to humble yourself, throw away your pride, whether you are a doctor, professor, or whatever, throw it away so you can be able to grab that soul unto God. So that in the day that death is moving in your area, God will shout from heaven and say, spare that woman, spare that man, because her body, his body is following my agenda upon the face of the earth. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, my neighbor, this message is for you. Direct. Tell the person, it's for you. Direct, direct. It's a uniform fitting you. The second I want to close, I don't know if I had 2 days, like I would have said so many things from this same story. But be a witness. Understand your God's agenda for your body. And finally, the second lesson I want us to learn as we close is that you must follow God's agenda for your money. Follow God's agenda for your money. If you don't follow God's agenda for your money also, it can send you to hell. You remember the young ruler who came to Jesus. He says, Master, what shall I do that I may, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and thy mother. Then he said to Jesus, all these have I observed from my youth. Jesus, beholding him, he loved him. And he said to him, one thing thou lackest. And the only thing you lack is that you don't have any treasure in heaven. Go, sell all thy possessions, give to the poor, and when you give to the poor, thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up thy cross, then you can follow me. Your money can send you to hell. How you use your money. I could have also said, why Jesus called the rich man a fool? Number one, he misused his body, and number two, he misused his money. But I'm talking about lessons from the rich fool. Follow God's agenda for your money. God has a clear laid down agenda for your money. Of all that Jesus said, you know, sometimes preachers attack one another. When somebody says that Jesus spoke more parables about money than you can think about, it to a certain extent is true. When you think about it, you see the unjust steward is about money. The prodigal son is about money. The parable of the talent is also about money. The parable of going into the field to go and work, there are rewards. It's also related to money. A lot of the parables are about money. And why, it's so important because money, it can send you to hell. Let me just read a few verses to you and then we close. Galatians chapter 6 verse 6 to 10. It says, let him that is taught in the word communicate with him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And he that soweth to the spirit shall of the spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those that are of the household of faith. So two types of giving here, or two types or two ways you can use your money. Number one, sowing to the flesh. Sowing to the flesh is investing money in things that has to do with the earth. The rich fool, he said, I will pull down my barns, I will build greater, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid down for many years. Was laying up treasures upon earth, and God, you are a fool. then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? And listen, in Matthew chapter 6 verse 19, Jesus said, lay not out for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and thieves break through and steal. So when you juxtapose Matthew 6 19 on Galatians chapter 6 verse 8, you will see that when you give money, you sow to the things of the earth. The corruption that can hit it, the things that can corrupt that investment, there are three: moth, animals, natural things, rust, things in the elements of the earth, and then human beings can steal. And when they say thieves break through, don't look for armed robbers. Which people are doing the haircut? Was it not human beings who sat down and said they are doing haircut? We are on social media, so I can't say much. Was it not human beings who sat down and said they are doing haircut? Somebody has put his life savings, 10 million Ghana cedis, and put into bonds and investment. And you lock up the money for 10 years. And you said that in 10 years, you get zero interest. And one man was crying to me. He said, oh, his life savings is there. And he said, 10 million in 10 years is not the same as 10 million today. Listen to me carefully. It's good to buy bonds, to buy shares, to buy lands, to build houses, to buy cars, and all that. But how the economies of the world are crashing or is crashing, it's a message to you and I. Our only hope is the spiritual sowing. I met a woman on Sunday. She used to be in our church and moved away. So I met her and I said, oh, are you still in your house? And she said, no. I said, what happened? He said, somebody came and said, the land is for them. And proved it with the document that the land is for them. So they said, I should take my house so that they will take the land. And so she said, oh, okay, then you pay me for the building. They said, we didn't ask you to build, but the land, we want it. So you either leave the land for us and we decide what to do with the building, or carry the building away. And she had to leave the building. She's lost the house and she's now down to ground zero. These investments are good, but when you put your confidence in them, like the rich fool, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Some of you, as you are sitting here, you remember some money you have your bank account, and suddenly you tell yourself, it is well. It is well. Your confidence is in what you have. The second type of giving is sowing to spiritual things. You sow to spiritual things. And he says, he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Our brother was taking the offering, was quoting the scripture. What it means is that even through your giving, God can save you and make you go to heaven. That's what it means, literally. Through your giving, God can save you if you are not saved, and he can make you go to heaven. Yes, you go to heaven. In Acts chapter 10, there was a certain man in Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, and gave much alms to the people and pray to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of the Lord coming into him and saying, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid, and he said, what is it, Lord? The angel said to him, Cornelius, thy prayers and thy alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. For he lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. And he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Cornelius used his money to provoke the heavens to send him salvation. So not only did he get salvation, but when he died, he transited and he went to heaven. So your money, even when you see, if you give well, if you are a spiritual seed sower, if you have to die, God can save you. If you have to go to hell, God will do whatever he can to stop you from going to hell. In the vision which Rejoiner had, he saw a pastor, and the pastor's wife died before the man. And when the pastor's wife died, Rejoiner was asking, but why did you? And the woman said to the pastor, the woman said to Rejoiner, he said, God had to take me away, because if God had not taken me away, I would have gone to hell, and I would have let my husband also to go to hell. God saved her from going to hell. If you really know how to give to the things of the Spirit, and you know how to give by the leading of the Holy Spirit, you have life eternal. But to explain what it means to give to spiritual things, Paul continued, let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do all men, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So I'm ending now. So how do we give spiritually? Let's close. How do we give spiritually? Number one, give in the house of God. So he says, give to people in the household. So you can't give to the people in the household unless you are giving in the household yourself. So give in the household. Pay your tithe. Stop listening to those who are telling you, don't pay your tithe. Some of them are stealing. Some of them are signing fake documents. They know how they get their money, and that's how come they are telling you, don't pay your tithe. Meanwhile, they are not telling you what they are doing to get the money. Pay your tithe. Pay your tithe. And don't even struggle with 10%. Start doing 20. Start doing 30. I heard Rick Warren saying recently that he's doing 91.7% of his tithe. And you are still struggling with 10%. You chop it this month. Next month, you pay again. You chop 2 months, then you pay again. When you see people giving, or some sickness, crosses your path, then you pay your tithe. When you see death so close, you pay your tithe and even give him, you give more. As I want to say, my neighbor, do you tithe regularly? All those in the choir, how many of you have your tithe cards? Those in the choir, how many of you have tithe cards? So those of you who don't have, why? And put your hands down now. All those in the choir, how many of you give your tithe regularly, faithfully, every month? Lift up your hand. Only 4. You two are looking at me. What do you do with your tithe? Look at this nice edifice. I was amazed when I came here. I was amazed at what God has done. I was telling your pastor. So amazed at what God can do. And that's what money goes into. And you cannot have a thing like this without the set man of the house himself. Not just giving. He's pouring his blood into it. He's pouring his blood into it. Many things work in church. You don't even understand how they work. And let me tell you something. Money is very supernatural. Money is very supernatural. That's why we don't build a church on a human being. Because there are times where God brings divine supplies. You meet people who give you money. You don't know them from anywhere. Money just comes. But we need to pay our tithes. We need to give our Sunday offerings. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he says, everybody should lay money aside, and then on the Sabbath day, you bring it to church and give in the church. Number two, the second way of giving spiritually is to give to people. Give to people. And under giving to people, number one, give to your family. Give to your family. Some of us do so in town. You do so in town. You pay school fees for a lot of people. You do so for girls. But in your house, they are still grinding pepper. Not because you feel for it, but because circumstances demand that they grind pepper and add fish to it. Circumstances have forced you into it. You say you like pepper. Meanwhile, you don't like it. Circumstances. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. It says, 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 8, it talks about you giving to your family. If you neglect your family, it says you have denied the faith and you are worse than an infidel. If any provide not for his house, especially they of his own house, or if any provide not for his own, especially they of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So you have money, let your children enjoy it first. Family is everything, people. Family is everything. Your wife, your children first. Your wife, your children first. Your wife, your children first. All the other people second. The day you are not there, these are the ones who will miss you more than any other person. Other church members can move on. The real people will miss you first. At these people, they will never forget you. They'll always be there. Give to your family. Are you in the church? Number two, give to people in general. Give to people in general. So give to all men. So he says, give to all men. Verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. And all men there means the poor, different kinds of givings you can do, scholarships, whatever you can do, you can give to people. Next one, give to people in the church who are struggling. Give to the people, give to people in the church who are struggling, who don't have money. Some are in church and they are owing. They have a heavy loan hanging around their neck. Church is a funny place where we can pretend. We put up a front. Sometimes people dress good and they are hiding their rot behind. And sometimes people are also well-to-do. They don't dress good to hide what they have. There is that maketh himself rich and has nothing. And there is that maketh himself poor and yet hath servants he is feeding. And in the church, we can come to church, people are struggling. Let's help people. Let's do whatever we can to help somebody. You are coming to church, you see somebody walk into the church, pick the person in your car. Don't look at the feet of the person and say the person's feet is dirty. No, pick them anyway. Let them make the carpet of the car dirty. And the very final one I want to talk about, which I'm closing with, is that give to your pastor regularly. Give to your pastor regularly. From experience, I have never seen any man of God making it at the top who doesn't have people he honors. From experience. From experience. There are many things, some of us, the background from which we came from, we had to discover it for ourselves the hard way. But some of your pastor and co and some other people, they've been around certain people around them who have showed them things for a long time. But see, there are people in church today who are struggling because they don't give to their pastors regularly. He says, let him that is taught in the word communicate with him that teacheth in all good things. So your pastor teaches you, you go to work, they give you a hamper, he must have a share in that hamper. They give you cloth, he must have a share in the cloth. They give you shoes, he must have a share in the shoes. They give you money, you must have a share in the money they give to you. You must know your pastor's shoe size. Sister, sister, I don't feel sleepy. How can you sleep when I'm preaching this hot word? Don't look at anybody, look at me. You must know your pastor's shoe size, know your pastor's trouser size, know your pastor's suit size, and know the pastor's dress size as well. Some of you should be able to pay the pastor's light bill and say, I'm paying the pastor's light bill. I'm paying the pastor's water bill. Listen, you will not prosper. You see, when the Bible says that, believe in the Lord, 2 Chronicles 20:20, believe in the Lord your God, you shall be established. Believe in his prophets and you shall prosper. That word prosper is the Hebrew word chalak. And chalak means to break out. And some of you, the houses from which you are coming from, you are being chained to things. It is when you begin to give that you break out and take your hand off and you go off and you begin to break forth. Get to the place where money comes to you supernaturally. The widow of Zarephath what she had was a supernatural provision. You, apart from the money that comes from your company, there is no other money that comes to you from anywhere. You must be able to receive a little from here, a little from there, a little from there, a little from here, a little from there. And you must receive money that makes you shake. That makes you shake and you are like, where did this one come from? It cannot come until you lock horns with your pastor regularly. You give to your pastor regularly. Some of you here, you should put your pastor on a monthly salary of 10 Ghana cedis because that's what you can afford. Of 100 Ghana cedis because that's what you can afford. Of 1,000 Ghana cedis because that's what you can afford if you really want to do well. Ignore the naysayers who are on social media saying what they have no idea about. This is Bible. This is Bible. Jesus had his own share. I was talking about this one day and I said, why do you think that Cusa, the steward of Herod, had his wife Joanna following Jesus everywhere they were going, ministering to Jesus of their substance? Jesus, what will you eat? Ebunebunu soup with fufu. Jesus, what will you eat? Fried rice and chicken. Jesus, what will you eat? Sandwich, tuna. Hey. Tuna sandwich. Hey. And now I've been looking for my own. When we go for crusades, they'll come and ask me, what will you eat? Then they'll say, the money. These women were following Jesus and they were ministering to Jesus of their substance. Do you know what that means? You give to your pastor. Do you know sacrifices? Do you know 2 years ago I didn't come? Why did I not come? I was in a fast. And the way I was in the fast, if I come, I would disgrace myself. That's why I didn't come. So I told your pastor, I cannot come. That's why I didn't come. But my church members can be around, you don't know. You will never know. I can be standing in front. Only my wife and the people in my house know. But I can stand in front. But I know when I'm fasting and I'm preaching, I know that. Because your spirit picks different kinds of things you shouldn't pick under normal circumstances. So that's why I told the pastor that I cannot come, because it fell within the fasting time. But I've repented. Say amen. But think about it. Your pastor can go on a long fast. I know. I chat with him. And when your pastor is praying in his bedroom, he's on a mountain somewhere, he's at an akaxo, and he's praying, he's kneeling down. Sometimes you are the problem. Sometimes you the problem. You the problem. How do you think he's managing with all these tight things you are wearing? And then you are sinking, then tenderable toss, and you shake it, my God, and you turn, and he's what? On his face, my God, help me, Lord. Help me to concentrate, Lord. My God. But even though he is not praying for you, if you sow to him regularly, he is clearing your path, clearing your path, clearing your path, clearing your path. Suddenly you see the money begins to come to you. The widow of Zarephath, if she had been you, that oil, you will sell some. You have a factory and be selling oil. You'll be doing distributorship. You just be distributing for free. You won't look inside. And then I don't know whether it was cassava dough, corn flour, whatever. You will start a factory also as well. And you will sell as well. Supernaturally, money can come to you. People are struggling in the church financially because they don't relate to their pastors financially. So your pastor is your biggest agent of prosperity. If you really, really want to do well. And he himself, he knows that law. He knows that secret. He knows that secret. I sat with him. The first thing I asked him was, who do you honor? Because when you enter a place and things are happening, it is honor. Honor is what causes people to rise higher than any other thing. One day I asked God, God, what can we do to break forth? He said, who is speaking words over you? Who is blessing you? Who tells you that it will be well with you? And I said, my prophet, my pastor, my spiritual father. He said, honor him. And honor people is not from full respect. It's money. It's money. So you should be able to give money to your pastor on a regular basis. Regular basis. I listen, the video is still online. You can go and check. Also for KK in Pastor KK in Warri. All right. Korede Kumaiya. Pastor Korede Kumaiya. Yeah. He was preaching one day. He said he's come to Ghana. He's come to a general overseer in Ghana before. He comes every year to come and swear. See, he said one day when he came and he was going, your GO said to him that you are a very wise man. There are things they know, but they don't talk about it because of social media. They can't stand openly. Can you imagine your general overseer now standing on a Sunday and saying that, give to your pastor? How they twist it on the air? So because of that, he can't say it. But maybe they've taught it years ago. But they practice it and they do it. So, your money. And the beautiful thing, I don't have time. The beautiful thing about all this is that when you give spiritually, you have life. So even Dr. Teo must also sow to pastor's life. She must sow. You sell, you sow. You can even give it to him and find a way to collect it again. It's okay. But there must be something coming from the pastor's wife also to the man of God regularly on a monthly basis. My wife does. I train her too. My wife does. Monthly basis. Something you do on a monthly basis. So remember these two things. God has an agenda for your body. If you don't follow that agenda, you will die before your time. And God also has an agenda for your money. If you don't follow that agenda, you will die before your time. Can I have some envelopes? I'm not raising funds for anything. God, don't.